Psalms chapter 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. The scripture asks, why do the heathen rage? And I ask today, why are people raging? Why is road raging on the increase? Why are people raging in the cities and rioting and burning buildings? Why is there rage between the races? Why is there rage against the government, against law enforcement officers? Why are people walking into schools and shooting people down, into places of businesses and killing coworkers? Why do the heathen rage? Why did the people cry when they were offered to have Barabbas released unto them? Crucify him, crucify him. Speaking of our Lord and Savior. Why do the people rage? Let's read in John chapter 10 and verse 32. John 10 and 32. Jesus answered them, many good works have I shewed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? For what good works are you stoning me? Jesus healed their sick. Jesus raised the dead. Jesus took on the form of a servant and served the people. Jesus was the shepherd for people who were lost without a shepherd. He was moved with compassion. Jesus turned water into wine when there was a need for that. For which good work did they choose to stone him? Why do the heathen rage? Jesus gave them this invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That sounds like a good invitation to me. Why would people rage? Why would they be so stirred up and want to stone a person like that? In fact, Jesus came not only to bring life, but to bring it more abundantly. So why would people rage at something like that? Is it because Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me? Is it because that there was a challenge to the flesh, that people had to forsake the things of the flesh? They had to take a road that sometimes might be hard. Is that why people were so angry at the message of Jesus Christ? Let's read in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Jesus preached against evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications. Aren't these things that are detriments to society? Aren't these things that create damage in people's lives, destroy relationships, bring heartache? Jesus went preaching against these things. That shouldn't have caused a problem, should it? If he's preaching against the very things that will destroy you, why would that be a problem? Why do the heathen rage? False witness. Who wants a false witness? Can you imagine being innocent and going to prison because of a false witness? Why would anyone rage at teaching this good? These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Do you suppose the people raged against Jesus because he forgave a repentant woman who was caught in the act of adultery? Jesus forgave. Jesus restored. Jesus gave this woman new hope in life. You know what her persecutors wanted to do? They wanted to stone her to death. Is this why they raged at Jesus? Because he brought hope of life to people? Because he renewed people? He made them new creatures? Is it because, as Jesus wrote in the sand, that they began being convicted each one by one? When he said, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." Was it the conviction that pricked their hearts that caused the rage against our Lord and our Savior? Why do the heathen rage? Why do they imagine vain things? Let us read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Romans 1 and 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Vain in their imaginations. People have a lot of vain imaginations today. People are imagining that they can go through life without God and still be happy. Yes. That is a vain imagination. Yes. Amen. People believe that we should get all trace of God out of the schools, out of public buildings, out of public life. Erase the very memory of God, and this is the right way to live. That is a vain imagination. People are thinking that if they make money their God, the sinful pleasures of this life their God, if they are consumed with their own selfish desires, that they will achieve happiness. It is a vain imagination. Amen. Why are people imagining vain things? People are thinking of themselves more highly than they ought to. Thinking they are special, thinking they're important, they're beautiful, they're intelligent, whatever it may be. That, like it says in Revelation, I have need of nothing. Thinking that they are rich. Why is it that people are consumed in vain imaginations? Let us read again in Psalms, verse 2. Psalms 2 and 2, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, They take counsel against the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Government leaders, business leaders, religious leaders, spiritual wickedness in high places. And they're taking counsel together. They're forming confederacies to come against things that are right and decent. Why do the heathen rage? Why do they imagine vain things? Why do they take counsel together, the kings of the earth, the rulers of the earth? Why are they taking counsel together against the God of heaven? It is so serious. I am moved that the leaders of this land are taking counsel together against God. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 19. Let's start at verse 16. Revelation 19 and 16. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the great supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Today we are seeing the kings of the earth gathering together to make war against our Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. That's serious, isn't it? Well, we should not be surprised to see that happening today. The Bible prophesied it. We should not be surprised, but we should also not be afraid. Let's go back to Psalms chapter 2, verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. I will read you some commentary, and sometimes I simplify the commentary or put it in more modern English. Bishop Horn well remarks, we may see the ground of opposition, namely the unwillingness of rebellious nature to submit to the obligations of divine laws, which cross the interests and lay a restraint on the desires of men. Corrupt affections are the most inveterate enemies of Christ. I had to look up the word inveterate. Inveterate means deeply rooted, firmly established by long continuance, obstinate. See, corrupt affections are the most inveterate enemies of Christ. And he says that we may see the ground of opposition, namely the unwillingness of rebellious nature to submit to the obligations of divine laws, which cross the interests and lay a restraint on the desires of men. Why do the heathen rage? Why are they taking counsel together? Could it be because his laws bring a restraint on their corrupt desires? that it brings guilt and conviction when they consider the law of God versus the laws they pass or the laws they want us to abide by. Why do the heathen rage today? Let's read what the Lord has to say about this in Psalms 2 and 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. I remember one day walking in Honduras, and a little dog came from a doorway real close to where I was walking very suddenly. Tiny dog, about ankle high, barking ferociously at me and even nipped my pants. I was startled. It did scare me a little, but really, it was amusing to me. That little dog threatening me. How do you think God feels about the counsel of men? Even if they are kings, even if they are business leaders, they are rich and powerful, how do you think God feels? Do you think He feels threatened by them? When they're taking counsel together, how shall we take God out of the schools? How shall we pervert the laws to get rid of all traces of morality in Christianity? Do you think that is a threat to God? That He feels afraid, He feels intimidated by that. The Scripture says that He shall laugh, shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Let us read in Psalms 110, chapter 110, verse 1. Psalms 110 and 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Yes, your enemies are raging against you. They are conspiring against you. They're creating counsel against you, Jesus. But you sit right here at my right hand until I make them your footstool. Did you know Jesus is still reigning today? In spite of all the upheaval we see in our society, all the problems of earth, all the unleashing of unclean spirits in the world today, the Lord Jesus is still reigning at the right hand of God. And there is coming a day that He will make all of these enemies His footstool. But it's not just the Lord that is reigning. Let us read in Psalms 23 and verse 5. Psalms 23 and 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. In the presence of mine enemies, you have prepared everything that I need in life, Lord. Yes. You are my shepherd. Yes, there are enemies around. Yes, the world is getting darker. There are unclean spirits that are oppressive. There is spiritual wickedness in high places, but in the presence of all these things, you have prepared a table for me. I am banqueting. I am feasting. Thank God that there is victory available for us in the presence of our enemies. Back to Psalms chapter 2 and verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Jesus is King of Kings. While the heathen rage, He is still King of Kings. While men deny him, he is still King of Kings. While they were mocking him before the high priest, he was still their king. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 67. Matthew 26 and 67, then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? They were smiting their king. While they laid the whip on his back, he was still King of Kings. While he was on the cross, he was King of Kings. Do you think he was threatened by the cross, by the nails, by the whips, by the crown of thorns? Do you think those things intimidated our Lord and Savior? He had at his disposal 12 legions of angels. He was King of Kings. And there came a time that his enemies became his footstool. Psalms 2 and verse 7. I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Thou art my son. What does that say to you? To me it says, you are a part of me. So see, there's something special there. I have a special connection with my own children, my own grandchildren. I feel like this is a part of me. And the Lord God said to our Lord Jesus Christ, thou art my son. How do you think the Father feels when the heathen rage against his son? How do you as a father feel when someone threatens your son or your daughter? How do you feel? Let's read in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 33. Do you think it would stir some anger up eventually? Do you think there could be some repercussions if someone was threatening your son? Matthew 21 and 33, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive of the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. Why do the heathen rage? If you have a good job in a vineyard, why not just enjoy the good job? Why not enjoy the rewards of the householder when he comes back and says, good job? But instead, they began beating and killing the servants that were sent to receive of the profit of the vineyard. But last of all, verse 37, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Let us seize on his inheritance. Why do the heathen rage? Is it because they want something that belongs to the son? Is it because the scribes and the Pharisees wanted the glory that they saw the people giving to Jesus? Is that why they raged? Is that why they sought to kill him? Why is it people today are raging against the Lord, our Lord and our Savior? Is there something in their hearts that isn't right? Are they destroying themselves when they are raging against the very gospel of peace? When they're seeking to eliminate it from our lives, from our society? Is there a reason? Last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Now, the story doesn't end there. You see, there comes a time that the Lord's enemies are going to become his footstool. When the Lord, therefore, you know, the Lord still existed. The whole time they were abusing these servants and killing the son, the Lord was still Lord of the vineyard. He still had authority. He had the ability to set things right. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, oh, my Lord delays his coming, though. I have some time. I can continue to abuse my fellow man. I can abuse my own body, my own life. Because my Lord is delaying his coming. Because sentence is not executed speedily against the sons of men. Therefore are their hearts set within them fully to do evil. But the Lord is coming. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do to those husbandmen? You know there will be an end to it. And these people knew the answer. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto the other husbandmen, which shall render the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Back to chapter 2 of Psalms, verse 8. Psalms 2 and 8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions. Do you need something? Ask of me. You are my son. Do you need something today? Ask of me. Luke chapter 15 and verse 31. You are my son, just as the prodigal son's father told the prodigal son's brother. Luke 15 and 31, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. Notice this, and all that I have is thine. It's yours, son. You're jealous. You're stirred up. You have some rage in you. All you had to do was ask. Do you see an opportunity here? The Lord is saying, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Where is the shortcoming in your life? Where is the need? The Lord is saying, just ask of me. Do you want to overcome your enemies? Do you want to overcome that place of rage? The solution to rage is not more rage. That's where so many that are speaking today and expressing opinions are missing it. The solution to rage is the King of Peace. It is not retaliating with the same. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Luke 11 and 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? After all, it's his son. It's a part of him. He loves his son. If the Son asks the Father for bread, will he give him a stone? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If you need something today from God, just ask. If the world is troubling you, if you feel a temptation to engage in the rage, just ask of God. He is there willing and ready and able to help. Back to Psalms 2, verse 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Be wise today. There is coming a judgment. There is coming a destruction that no man can escape except that we accept the Lord and serve Him. He is going to break them with the rod of iron. It seems like the wicked are winning. It seems like the country is being corrupted. The laws are being changed. Our freedoms are being restricted. And we can fall prey to rage. But keep in mind, there's someone that wields a rod of iron, and he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. No matter how powerful they seem, how they may seem to be winning today, this day is coming that the Lord will break them into pieces. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. This is the answer. Why did the heathen rage? Why are people taking counsel together? The real answer is serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. We need to recognize, O Lord Jesus, you are Lord of Lords. You are King of Kings. There are things that are outside of my control. The enemy is coming in on every side. But I recognize I'm in a kingdom of someone that is more powerful than all of that. I recognize their moment of glory will soon end. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Verse 12. The thought of this morning. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Kiss the Son, embrace him, accept him. Lest he be angry, there is an opportunity in this life to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept his teaching, to accept his Spirit. This is our opportunity now to do that. And there is a consequence if we do not. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And ye perish from the way. No matter how rich we are, how powerful, how great we think we are, how invincible, how immortal we think we are, we better embrace the Son, or we will perish by the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. May I say, rich and fulfilled are their lives that put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored or strengthened thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's not put it off any longer. Let's not hope that things get better. Let's not hope that the rage subsides and then we can follow the Lord. But now is the day of salvation. Now is the time the Son will accept us if we will embrace Him. Clark's commentary. The Apostle Paul informs the Corinthians that this is the time predicted by the prophet Isaiah, and the ministry of reconciliation being exercised in full force is proof that the prophecy is fulfilled. And therefore the apostle confidently asserts, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is this accepted time, and therefore now is the day of salvation. Now is the time in which the power of God is present to heal, and in which every sinner believing on the Lord Jesus Christ may be saved. Do you need healing in your life today? Now is the time. Do you need salvation today? Now is the time. Don't put it off any longer. I want to predict that the world is not going to get better. I keep hearing politicians say the best is yet to come. And the scripture tells me that in the last days perilous times shall come. And it says that men will be seducers and they'll wax worse and worse. So now is our opportunity. Why are the heathen raging? There's an answer to it. There's a solution to rage, and it's called peace. It's called victory. It's called joy. The King of Peace came to bring the answer. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation 3 and 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. What a close place of love, of communion, of comfort, of protection. The Lord is standing at the door and knocking. Today is the day to embrace the Son, to kiss the Son. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. Do you hear the voice of the Lord today? Are you willing to open the door today? It's been shut too long. Way too long. If you open the door today, I will come into him, Jesus says, and sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh in this life, when the heathen are raging, when the kings of the earth are taking counsel together, when they're taking counsel together against the saints, when they're gathering around to make war against our King of Kings and us. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Did you know there's an end coming to all of this? That the Lord of the vineyard is coming back and there will be an accounting made. Have you embraced the Son today? Have you accepted Him? Are you communing with Him? Have you opened the door of your heart? To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Kiss the Son today. Accept Him. Embrace Him. Lest He be angry and ye perish from the way. May God bless you this morning.